We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Children and adults around the world are celebrating the benefits of walking and biking, and tomorrow is Walk and Roll to School Day in Champaign-Urbana. For those walking, parents and students will gather early to walk to school together. Cynthia Hoyle is on the line with us to tell us more about Walk and Roll. Cynthia is one of the event's organizers. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
It sounds like we're going to have a beautiful day to walk to school tomorrow.
That sounds great.
So how does this work?
Well, each of the schools that are participating in our community, there are 14, plans their own events, and they set destinations at which people meet and walk or parade to school. A number of the schools have bus drops where the students will be dropped off with teachers and staff there, and then they parade to school. Some of them have events planned, like a parent breakfast or a gathering around the flagpole and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and it's a lot of fun.
So how walkable are our cities?
Our cities are pretty walkable. In Urbana, there is the school choice program, so sometimes students don't live close enough to be able to walk from their house to the school. So for those schools, a number of them have park and walk programs where you can park a block or two from the school and then walk with your student, which is often much faster, actually, than sitting in a long line and idling amid a lot of exhaust fumes. And the kids and parents get to have a little time together that they can chat back and forth at school.
Tell us a little bit more about the goals of Walk and Roll. You mentioned cutting down on pollution. That's certainly a benefit. What are some of the other goals?
Well, we know that our children are not often getting the amount of exercise that is recommended for them every day, and with busy schedules, sometimes it's hard to incorporate activity into your day. So if you can get some extra walking or biking time in on the way to school and on the way home, that helps a lot. In addition, the research is showing that children who have some activity in the morning perform better academically at school. They're more prepared to engage and focus on what they are doing at school.
Yeah, and when you get your body moving, your brain follows.
That's right. In fact, we know that for a lot of kids, being active is an important part of their learning. They learn better when they're doing something active.
Yeah. Is this the second year for this event?
No, we've been doing this event since 2004 in our community, but we've been adding in schools each year, so it's become bigger and bigger, and with this year, like the last couple of years, we'll have about 5,000 students involved.
Now, are there opportunities for people other than students, teachers, and parents to get in the swing here and participate in some way or another?
Absolutely. We have some local celebrities. We've got both the mayors coming and city council members from both cities are going to schools to walk with students. We also have some U of I student athletes. The teams come, and the kids really, really enjoy having those celebrities come and join them for their activities that day. Also, for many of the parents, there's a lot of concern about their children's safety. And so if people who live in the neighborhood would like to keep an eye on the street for kids going back and forth to school, they can participate by making sure that kids are safe as they go back and forth. So sort of an eyes on the street neighborhood watch approach. And some of the schools have talk to neighbors along the safe route to engage them in making sure the kids are safe.
Yeah, it also sounds like this is a great opportunity for parents to get together and be with one another, and you know, over this, you know, their children that they so dearly love. But they get to they'll have a chance to mingle themselves.
It is a great way to meet and connect with other parents and students. When you're out walking and biking, you get more social interaction in both with your own children and with other children and parents, whereas when you're in a vehicle, you cannot have that sort of interaction. So it is a great opportunity to network, and I know parents in a number of neighborhoods have essentially set up their own walking school buses where they coordinate with other children in the neighborhood along a designated route, and the children join them, and they walk back and forth to school together with an adult escort. And you can do the same thing with bicycles. They call them bike trains.
So where can we get more information on Walk and Roll to School in Champaign-Urbana?
Well, you can go to our website, CU-SafeRouteToSchool, so it's SRTFproject.com. And you can also look on the MPD website. The Urbana School District has it on the front page of their website, and there's information available, I think, through the school districts and the cities about the event as well.
Okay, very good. Cynthia, wish you all the best and happy walking and rolling tomorrow.
Thank you.
Tomorrow is Walk and Roll to School Day in Champaign-Urbana, and our guest in this portion of the program has been Cynthia Hoyle. She's one of the event's organizers.
It is a great way to meet and connect with other parents and students. When you're out walking and biking, you get more social interaction in both with your own children and with other children and parents, whereas when you're in a vehicle, you cannot have that sort of interaction. So it is a great opportunity to network, and I know parents in a number of neighborhoods have essentially set up their own walking school buses where they coordinate with other children in the neighborhood along a designated route, and the children join them, and they walk back and forth to school together with an adult escort. And you can do the same thing with bicycles. They call them bike trains.
So where can we get more information on Walk and Roll to School in Champaign-Urbana?
Well, you can go to our website, CU-SafeRouteToSchool, so it's SRTFproject.com. And you can also look on the MPD website. The Urbana School District has it on the front page of their website, and there's information available, I think, through the school districts and the cities about the event as well.
Okay, very good. Cynthia, wish you all the best and happy walking and rolling tomorrow.
Thank you.
Tomorrow is Walk and Roll to School Day in Champaign-Urbana, and our guest in this portion of the program has been Cynthia Hoyle. She's one of the event's organizers. NPR has a new CEO. Gary Nell, currently chief executive of the company that produces Sesame Street, will formally take over his new responsibilities in December. David Folkenflik has more.
On Sunday, former NPR CEO Vivian Schiller tweeted her strong support for Gary Nell's selection and at the same time called continued federal funding of public radio untenable. She has told associates the subsidy allows lawmakers to use NPR as a political punching bag. Federal dollars make up about 2% of NPR's budget, but about 10% of funding for public radio stations. And many smaller stations rely on that support even more. In all, it's nearly $100 million annually for a system that includes hundreds of stations. Nell says NPR will forcefully continue to seek such funding, which polls suggest is supported by a majority of Americans.
In certain rural parts of this country, for instance, when you drive across the state and there is no commercial radio covering local news, local government, local and state government, the only place is public radio.
Nell spoke yesterday to my NPR colleague Melissa Block, host of All Things Considered.
We'll have to make up, I guess, as a country, and the Congress will need to decide, as well as state governments, whether this is something important enough to support. I happen to think it is, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
But Nell is unlikely to sit back and just wait to find out. In the past year, a series of scandals fueled opposition among many House Republicans to federal subsidies for public broadcasting. NPR executives quietly mapped out what the public radio system might look like without those federal dollars. Would that mean creating a new major endowment for NPR, allowing it to reduce the fees it charges stations to carry its programs? Or would such an endowment belong to the entire system? The politically tinged controversies cost several executives their jobs, including Schiller. And NPR's board, which is dominated by member station officials, is far from unified on this subject. But the discussion itself is considered notable. Carol Cartwright is vice chairwoman of NPR's board. She says those public dollars are important, but she adds,
I think we're going to have those conversations. There are a number of them already underway, and it's clear to us that we have to watch that landscape very, very carefully.
Two people who participated in the process that led to Nell's selection said he argued NPR has to plan actively for the day that money disappears. They spoke on condition they not be named. On Sunday, Nell referred to achieving possible savings by finding ways to share costs or eliminate duplication within the public radio system. But he said it's far too soon for him to know where to look. Ernest Wilson is a past chairman of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The CPB is the not-for-profit through which federal dollars flow to NPR and public radio and television stations. He said Nell showed an entrepreneurial bent as head of Sesame Workshop. That children's show has gone global and survived a burst of new competitors.
Gary Nell brings to this post a proven ability to work effectively and efficiently and to raise money, which is critically important. In other words, he's figured out a business model.
Nell says NPR should not only draw more non-governmental funds from private donors, foundations, and underwriters, but tap its expertise and resources to generate new revenue consistent with ethical standards, much as The Economist has done with conferences and custom-designed research for clients. Such a course might help provide a path for NPR and for public radio if they were to confront a future without any federal subsidy. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
California has begun transferring supervision of thousands of its prisoners and parolees to local officials. That's because the U.S. Supreme Court ordered the state to radically reduce its overcrowded prisons. Local officials say the new program, known as realignment, will lead to a spike in crime. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
L.A.'s Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says he's worried about the public safety. The state is sending thousands of parolees here, but no extra money to deal with them.
The idea that there's not a penny for this city or other cities makes no sense.
LAPD Chief Charlie Beck says supervising that many parolees will take at least 150 of his officers.
Those 150 officers are going to come right out of the streets of Los Angeles. So 911 calls will take longer to answer. Reports will take longer to write, and our system will suffer.
But the state says L.A. County was given $112 million and needs to better distribute those funds. California prison head Matt Cate says local officials should focus on results rather than rhetoric.
Elected officials are going to try to inoculate themselves from anything that could possibly go wrong in any new program.
Cate says he knows the realignment program isn't perfect, but it's better than the alternative. Opening the prison doors and immediately letting out 10,000 criminals. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
Annetta Brodsky, a deaf teen living in New York City, discovers the power of American Sign Language poetry as she prepares to be one of the first deaf poets to compete in a youth poetry slam. Our next community cinema, Deaf Jam, follows her journey leading to an unexpected collaboration. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library Tuesday, October 4th, from 6.